Good morning. Today I'd like to begin a series of lessons on a topic that many people have asked me about. They can't understand exactly why I am so concerned about people being baptized. Well, shortly before he ascended into heaven, Jesus gave his apostles the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All authority is being given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Matthew 28:18-20. In the Gospel of Mark, the Great Commission is worded in this way: "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who believes not shall be condemned." Matthew 16:15-16. In both places we notice the mention of baptism. In Matthew, it is related to the process of making disciples. In Mark, it is mentioned in connection with salvation. Whatever the purpose of baptism, it must be important to Jesus, for he commanded it. But one might ask, what is baptism? Is it pouring, sprinkling, or immersion? Is one baptized in water or in the Spirit? What is the purpose of baptism? Is it for the remission of sins or because our sins have already been forgiven? Is it to be saved or a public confession of faith having already been saved? Who should be baptized? Should infants be baptized? Should just anyone be baptized? Is there ever a need to be rebaptized? What if I was baptized as an infant? What if I was baptized for the wrong reason? What if I've sinned greatly after being baptized? These and many other questions are often asked when the subject of baptism is raised. This series is devoted to answering these and other questions related to baptism. Since it was commanded by Christ, it is certainly worthy of careful consideration. It is my intention to glean from the Bible what is actually taught on this subject. It is my prayer that you will have this attitude of the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, "They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." To receive the word with all readiness, that is, to listen carefully with a desire to at least understand, if at first you do not agree. To search the Scriptures, and that is, to read the Bible carefully to see if what I'm saying is true. In this lesson, we will simply consider how the apostles carried out the Great Commission Jesus gave them, to see what they said about baptism in their preaching. We begin with baptism in the preaching of Peter. On the day of Pentecost, in the first gospel sermon, Peter commanded people to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Upon exhorting his audience to be saved, the response was for many to be baptized. In Acts 2:38-41, we read, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Does "for" mean in order to or because of? Note, we find the same grammatical construction in Matthew 26:28, where Jesus said his blood would be shed for many for the remission of sins. Clearly, Jesus meant in order to provide remission of sins and not because remission of sins had already occurred. With rare exception, the Greek word eis means into, to, unto, for, or toward. Note also, "be baptized" is joined by the conjunction and to the command repent, Acts 2:38. Both are commanded for the remission of sins. Just as people were commanded to repent for or in order to the remission of sins, so they were commanded to be baptized for, in order to, the remission of sins. At the house of Cornelius, in the first gospel sermon to the Gentiles, Peter followed up by commanding his audience to be baptized. Acts 10:44-48 we read, "And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word, And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. It is evident that what Peter commanded involved a baptism in water, Acts 10:47-48. A future study will examine whether the people were saved when the Spirit fell upon them or when they were baptized as commanded by Peter. At the very least, we can say that Peter's preaching was in harmony with the statements of Jesus in the Great Commission, preach the gospel and command people to be baptized. So far, the indication appears that it was a baptism in water and done for the remission of sins. Let us consider now one who was not actually an apostle, but certainly filled with the Spirit. The baptism in the preaching of Philip, first to the Samaritans. Though not an apostle, Philip went to Samaria and preached Christ, Acts 8:5. The response to such preaching, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of the Lord Jesus, both men and women were baptized, Acts 8:12. Now to the Ethiopian eunuch. To this very religious man, Philip preached Jesus, Acts 8:35. Though we are not told the content of Philip's sermon, from the eunuch's question we can deduce that it included baptism, as we pick up the narrative in verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Like Peter, Philip preached Jesus, not only by telling people about Jesus, but also what Jesus commanded. Baptism was an immediate result of such preaching. Is this surprising in light of Jesus' statements in Matthew 28:19 and Mark 16:15-16? Now let us consider the baptism in the preaching of Paul. In the conversion of Lydia first, we note again baptism followed apostolic preaching. In Acts 16:13-15, And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. As evidence that she gave heed to the things spoken of by Paul, she and her household were baptized. Notice also her comment in verse 15. How could Paul have judged her to be faithful to the Lord? By her response to the command of the Lord concerning baptism. In the conversion of the Philippian jailer, Paul tells the jailer that he must believe on the Lord to be saved. Acts 16:30-31. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Paul went on to speak concerning the word of the Lord to him and his family. In verse 32 we read, And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. In response they were immediately baptized. In verse 33-34, And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Evidently, the word of the Lord stressed the need to be baptized quickly. In fact, in every detailed example of conversion found in the book of Acts, people were baptized after only one lesson. In the conversion of Paul himself, Paul recounts his own conversion to the Lord in Acts 22:10-16. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. As he describes how he was told to go to Damascus, for there he would be told all things appointed for you to do, what must you do, Acts 9 verse 6, one of the things he was told was to be baptized without delay, Acts 22, 16. He was told to be baptized in order to wash away your sins. Note well, despite seeing the Lord on the road to Damascus, having spent 3 days fasting and praying, Acts chapter 9, 9-11, he was still in his sins, seeing the Lord had not saved him. Accepting Jesus as Lord, Acts 22:10, had not saved him. Praying and fasting for 3 days had not saved him. Not until he was baptized were his sins washed away. Note also that he was told to be baptized, doing what? Calling on the name of the Lord. We call on the Lord by obeying his will. That baptism played a prominent role in apostolic preaching becomes evident when we compare what is revealed in the examples of conversion. In every case of conversion described in detail in the book of Acts, baptism is mentioned. Clearly, it was an important theme of apostolic preaching. And what should be proclaimed regarding baptism? In this lesson, we've seen that it was commanded for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It was done to wash away sins, Acts 22:16. That it involved water, Acts 8:36 and 38, and Acts 10:48. That it was done immediately, with no delay, even if after midnight, Acts 16. This would certainly suggest that baptism is necessary for salvation. But is this a fair conclusion drawn from the preaching of the apostles? Is this the conclusion consistent with the teaching of the apostles as found in their epistles? Friends, if you have any questions or would like a copy of this lesson, please let me know. Call me at 330-682-3896, and I would be happy to get it out to you immediately. If there's any way we can help you, just let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.